All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we are examining the final two episodes of Transformers Cyberverse Season 2, which absolutely do not feel like a season finale.
No, I told you guys. I warned you it was gonna be like this.
Yeah, but it's like
probably like, oh, but Jen's so picky about writing and stuff, and it's probably fine. No, it's not fine. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess.
We straight up ran out of episodes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's well, because we had the Starscream mid-season story thing, and then it's just like, it's not even that when we get to the second episode, it kind of ends on a cliffhanger, but not the way you would normally structure a cliffhanger. It's
no
weird.
Like basically, this is leading into a four-parter that kicks off next season that should have been the season finale.
Yeah, yeah. It's it doesn't know where it begins or ends.
It they use those special parts to make their robot friends.
Yes, like Teletran X.
Yes. but no, we are starting off with Perfect Storm, an episode that does not involve George Clooney.
No.
Oh, I forgot about that
but
movie.
But is basically Grimlock and RC's excellent adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
An episode with way more Fusors than I would have anticipated.
Someone, I presume the writer on this, like, discovered Fusors and decided to make it a whole thing.
I mean,
it very much felt like somebody got lost on the wiki.
I'm on the record, big Fusor fan, underrated part of Beast Wars.
They are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They're very creative in a way that we don't really get these days. Which is not to be anything against, like, the current design team that just seems to be the purview of the line lately.
Mm. And I will also remark here that when I was a kid, when my mother first saw the package, she thought that they were flocked. Because she thought they were Fuzzors.
That would be amazing. Mm. I wish they were. That seems like it would create a new and exciting array of, like, wear and tear and engineering problems. Like, tolerance problems.
I mean, we finally got a molded and glow-in-the-dark plastic Transformer.
We did.
Flocked is on the horizon.
Oh, man.
Like, well, a flocked Optimus Primal.
Yes! Make him furry.
One of these days.
Just digging up every Masters of the Universe gimmick we can. We're gonna gonna make a blot that stinks.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, yeah, I'm all for that, because I ain't gonna notice.
And a Botanica that smells like an air freshener.
Yes.
Well, we need to get a Botanica, period.
That would be nice.
Well, there is that.
It would be hilarious if when we finally get her, she smells nice. Allegedly.
Anyway, so The Autobots are on their way to Cyber. This is Perfect Storm, 17th episode of the season. First aired December.
Cloud with lightning bolt.
Ooh.
It on mine.
First aired December 28th.
And this, I know emojis tend to be different between operating systems. Yeah. On mine, which is running like on Linux, it was like a tornado.
Oh, that's yeah. It's weird how every once in a while an emoji is, like, completely off. I guess it's to represent, like, storm of something. Well, because Perfect
Storm.
Yeah,
it's probably just literally called Storm.
Why?
But on my operating system, it displayed as a tornado.
I as a background, I finally opened some of the bigger blockies where I sent Jen Sunstreaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I put together the desiccant in these is such a big bag. What the hell?
Well, it's because it evens out the weight. So you can't
tell
which is which just by like, oh, this one's heavy, so it's probably one of the bigger ones.
Okay, maybe that's why. It's just like, it's bigger and heavier than any tea bag I've ever had.
I still absolutely managed to pull a Metroplex just by being like, oh, this one feels heavier than the others. But it's not a precise science. But that's why occasionally you do get a box, a Blockies box, that has a surprisingly large packet of desiccant in it. Anyway.
So the Autobots are bored.
Well, two of them in particular are bored.
They're on their way back to Cybertron. Absolutely nothing is happening.
I like that Cheetor is, like, curled up under one of the control panels on the bridge, just in cat mode, being a cat, taking a nap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, Optimus Prime is, like, in Captain's Log mode. Like, yeah, he's just curled up and purring on the floor. It's
being a kitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Grimlock and RC just decide to, they like, take a shuttle, they go into a nearby nebula for some, like, okay, Star Trek-type stuff.
Speaking of Star Trek stuff, here's the thing. Why is it in every sci-fi series that a large ship always has shuttlecraft that can move, like, 3 or 4 times faster, so the shuttlecraft can go down to a planet while the main ship is slowly chugging along through space, have a long adventure, and then fly back? It's like,
well, because...
what is the engine ratio there?
Well, because the... I mean, you don't want to have something that large. I've thought these things out. You don't want to have something that large moving quickly in planetary space. They move quickly in warp space or whatever kind of other space they traverse that does not have a risk. It's like having a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit in a residential zone, but on the other hand, if you're on an electric scooter, you go however fast you feel like.
They're in interstellar nebula stuff with asteroids, maybe. Doesn't really look like there's anything around, although somehow they have an adventure.
Well, as it turns out, there
in
is.
In general, shuttles, it's perfectly reasonable for shuttles to be zippier. It's like a train. Train takes time to get up to speed. But a little sports car,
I guess, but
it's going to be zippy.
Once it's going fast.
Anyway, it turns out that this nebula is actually extremely boring.
Yes.
Yes, between the cold open and after the credits, like, they've had a full adventure that was so boring we skipped it.
Yes.
Also, I like when they're running out, when they're just like, let's go do this nebula, let's go grab a shuttle. It just feels very much like time to go cause problems on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But then they actually...
they're a weird chaos duo, Bill and Ted, but it works for the episode.
So they get there, but then once they get back, everybody is on shutdown mode.
Yeah, they don't say stasis lock or anything. It's just shutdown mode.
Yeah.
But, like, the power on the ship's down. Everybody's standing there in place, not moving. At one point later, Rodimus gets knocked over to get to some controls.
Yes. So it turns out that they hit an electromagnetic storm. And then, because they were in the nebula, they're fine, but now everybody else is knocked out.
RC takes a selfie with Frozen Hot Rod.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they look out, and out there are a flock of spacefaring air hammers.
They're majestic.
They're majestic. They are basically based on the little-loved hammerhead Falcon Fusor that I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, that's an actual... I thought they were just, like, winged seacons. It was...
Oh, no. They actually have, like the hammerhead. That was one of the original Fusors.
Well, I saw the hammerhead, but it's, like, okay, I guess it does make sense it's a Fusor, since it's, like, 80% shark with some wings glued on.
I mean, the Fusor, it had, like, bird legs and bird wings and, like, a bird body, and then it had, like, the shark head and, like, a shark tail.
Yeah.
Hmm. And when it transformed, one of the hands was the shark tail, one of the hands were the snapping shark jaws.
Yes. Ah. It was a fun little toy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's definitely, so, you know, they're majestic and they're beautiful, and they're also going to slam right into the ship. So they can't do anything, but they've got an idea from a time that they encountered a ravenous pack of Bantors, which is another Fusor reference.
Okay, that name I did recognize. I forget what Bantor looks like, but I remember the name.
He was like orange, he was like half baboon, half tiger, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
He was one of many guys who had like a butt that was a weapon.
Another fun little toy.
Yes. I mean, those Fusor basics were very cool.
I bet they're still cheap on eBay, too.
I would imagine so. You can just get yourself, like, a bunch of buzz claws.
Possibly. Yes.
Oh, Terrorgator! I've always wanted a Terrorgator.
Terrorgator is fantastic.
Yes! And
amazing paint on the shell.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So they very, very quickly paint their shuttle to look like an air hammer and then broadcast the call of an air hammer, ignoring that they're in space and there's no sound in space.
Yeah. Nebula, there's some extra particles there. Maybe.
And sure. then they lure it away, the flock away from the ship.
Yes.
So, you know, that's fine. But, hey, what, you know... Usually you just see air hammers right before a comet storm, and cue the comet storm. So they've got to head out on the on the top of the ship and try and blast these comets. RC is wielding like a G.I. Joe roadblock style gun. Like
a ridiculous, enormous Gatling gun just on the hull of the ship, firing away.
It's all painless.
Yes.
Borrowed from Jesse Ventura. So they managed to get through this comet storm. They're relaxing. They're like, you know, those comets kind of came from nowhere. Well, you know, comets can sometimes be caused by the energy wave from a supernova. Cue the supernova.
Dun dun dun.
And of course, they can't raise the shields because the whole ship is shut down. So. We're going to need Cheetor to unleash the power of the Allspark, which they attempt to do by, like, grabbing his unconscious body and kind of, like, tapping him against the Allspark.
He's just rubbing his head against the Allspark.
That was great. Just poking it with his head. They tried. An attempt was made.
This usually works. So they're trying to figure out things, and then RC figures, well, why don't I use my own spark to fuel the shields?
Hmm.
But then Grimlock's like, you can't do that. I have to do it. And it basically becomes that scene from Avengers Endgame where, like, Black Widow and Hawkeye are, like, fighting each other over which one is going to die.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it lasts so long, and it escalates so weirdly in, like, a montage. My favorite part is they've constructed two walls to hide behind out of frozen bodies of miscolored Ironhides.
Yes. It basically turns into a spy versus spy cartoon.
Yes.
And anyway, finally, Teletran X was ejected and then made his way back through a flock of Ironhides.
And got shot at.
He is able to turn the ship back on.
He's like, somebody kept shooting at me.
Ha ha. So they get the shields up. The Ark survives the supernova. Everybody gets back to normal. And nobody knows any the wiser about RC Grimlock's excellent adventure.
Everyone else just slept through it.
Mm-hmm. And then Bumblebee and Hot Rod are like, oh, this is boring. Why don't we have a wacky adventure?
And the cycle repeats.
And off they go. It sure was some filler.
Yep. Again, the season finale is next week.
Yes!
You have 10 minutes to wrap this up.
This is the penultimate episode of the season, and they're just like, let's have an extremely filler episode.
It's not a bad episode. It's very silly.
No.
Like, it does feel like somebody went back and took an old script from an episode of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the cartoon. Just condensed it down and changed some names. Like, has a retro feel. It's fine. It's silly. It means nothing. But yes, next week, well, this week is the final episode. Well, oh no, these aired two at a time, right? Mm. When they were on TV, it was like two episodes at once.
I don't think so, actually. Let's see. This first aired...
Just shove it in there among a bunch of episodes of Teen Titans Go. Mm.
No, this was weekly. So this first aired December 28th, and this one aired... The next one aired January 4th.
Okay, so it was... Weird. This series continues to confound me.
All right, so that brings us to next episode, and much like Bone Thugs and Harmony, I will meet you at the crossroads.
Not at the monorail.
Well, that's only when I do my my storm voice. I cannot find them!
Speaking of which, when are we getting the second season of the new one?
Oh my god,
Later this year, and then of course we will have to watch some sort of goofy X-Men cartoon.
Yes, I will find something suitably ridiculous.
I will note that X-Men Unlimited is up on Disney Plus in Canada, at least.
All right.
X-Men Evolution, the one that was all Beast Wars characters.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we haven't done that one yet.
With Scott McNeely as Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's extremely Scott McNeely.
And Professor X is David Kaye.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Jean Grey is Venus Turzo.
That's right.
It would have been great if she had ever gotten to go Dark Phoenix. Guys, seriously though, my millennial coworker, one of our other coworkers, was talking about how he had brought up X-Men. It came up that they were going to be in the MCU, and one of my other coworkers was like, "Oh yeah, I decided to rewatch those movies pretty recently." And my millennial coworker was like, "Yeah, I was really surprised that they killed Jean Grey." I was just like, "What?" But that's her thing.
That's what she's known for.
That's her whole thing.
They even did it twice in the movies. Technically, no, I guess they did it three times in the movies.
Oh, Venus Turzo would have been a great Dark Phoenix, but oh well.
I don't think the show ever went that direction.
No. To be fair, they were like high schoolers.
This is true. But sometimes they will go to Africa and encounter Blue Mancuma.
I told you exactly the way in which that episode was racist.
That's true. But Blue Mancuma is pretty great as a guy whose whole deal is basically, I must kill you because God told me to.
Yes. Yes. He is just like a tribal shaman witch doctory kind of guy. Because that's what you have in Africa.
Anyway, The Crossroads.
Yes.
So this first aired January 4th, 2020. We are into the 20s now, the roaring 20s. Written by Randolph Hurd, frequent episode writer here. Last seen in these parts, doing Dark Birth.
Oh, yeah, the emoji is like hazard sign thing? I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, on mine it's like a roadblock. Sign.
Yeah, roadblock.
Yeah. Oh, I guess roadblock is in like crossroads.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're at this space bridge. It's kind of busted. We're trying to fix it. And
they need to call an animated Optimus Prime and his crew.
Yeah.
Need to get Bulkhead over here.
Even though Wheeljack's doing his best, even though he says he's no Quintesson.
So
He says Quintesson.
Oh, well.
Not Quintesson, Quintesson.
Yeah, I forgot that they refer to them as
things a little odd.
Like, well, they pronounce them Britishly.
They put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, like Optimus says Cybertron.
They pronounce Quintesson the Furman way, because that's the way he pronounces it when he's, you know, done. It's come up in panels and stuff.
Oh, Brits.
Anyway, I don't know. So I have to watch more British fandom YouTubers and see if that's the common British pronunciation, like Decepticon.
Just pull up more of those. pull up more of those Chris McFeely videos.
Yes, some 6-0.
So it turns out that they really need to get to Cybertron, because they've heard from Chromia, who has not been seen in these parts in many an episode. Hmm. And Cybertron is falling, so they're in big trouble. They got to get through there.
Cybertron has fallen and it can't get up. Wait, no, that's an old reference.
So they get through there, and has anybody here seen that movie, Doctor Strange? Because the people who made this episode definitely had.
It's time for multiverse bullshit. Woo!
Well, I'm talking about like that first one where they go to like that mirror dimension.
Yes.
Oh yeah, the background effects. Yeah,
the visual is very much that.
Yeah.
But instead, it turns out it's like that Next Generation episode Parallels.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where they end up like meeting all those other Enterprises, including the one where like the Federation the Borg, and right behind him, huge hobo beard,
and is not going well. It's like. He's having problems. Like, no, we're not going back.
All I really remember is super hot Romulan haircut Tasha Yar.
That's from a different multiversal one.
Okay. Oh, that was okay. That left an impression on me.
And also kind of reminds me of that Voyager episode where they like end up like stuck sort of with like a temporal duplicate of themselves, which is good because it turns out they needed a spare Harry Kim.
Oh yeah, well they killed Harry Kim almost as many times as Jean Grey does. Although just going into this multiverse thing, it made me wonder, are we going to pick up a spare Rewind here?
Yeah, it did have very like the Lost Light finding the other Lost Light kind of vibes here.
Yeah, they're in unspace. They're in the space between spaces.
Specifically in my notes, I put they're going to find themselves dead. Which is close.
They find like they hear a distress signal, and it turns out to come from the Ark.
But it's like kinda gray.
Yes. And also nobody's there. It's a real like spooky ghost ship. And then, so you know, nobody's there. There's a gizmo that Wheeljack does not remember building, but looks like a thing that he would do.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like they found some weird, indescribable super science nonsense shaped like a sphere or covered in spikes or anything. It's like, oh, there's a normal wacky device I'd make. This is not what caused this. This is something I made to solve this.
So they leave, and it turns out that this duplicate arc just disintegrates due to quantum disintegration.
Sure.
But then suddenly they're hailed by the Ark. This one's full of people. It's full of them.
Hot Rod is not prepared for any of this. He is not smart enough.
Yes, he has gone Bill and Ted. Whoa.
It's just the two hot rods going, whoa, at each other.
And then more, and more, and more. And we do get one that's captained by an alternate Rack and Ruin, but they don't really have any fun with it.
Yeah, that's the only difference they do.
I do note that Rack and Ruin do refer to themselves with plural pronouns, so that is established.
We are captain.
Yes.
But, like, you know, I'm aware that, you know, they probably did not have a great animation budget for this, even though, again, it is the season finale.
Yeah, they
also, the prime Rack and Ruin, they think that that's very cool that the other one is a captain.
Yes.
I think the second group of Autobots, I think they're a slightly darker coloration, but you can just almost barely, unless it's just the lighting.
Like, I feel like you could have done, like, Generation 2 colors here. You could have done, like, some Shattered Glass guys.
Yeah, you could have mixed up the colors a little bit. Or
yeah, it would have been nice.
Had a few other, like, instead of having Wheeljack, we have a Ratchet or something standing in.
Maybe somebody has an eye patch. I don't know.
Negative
colors.
That's
how you can tell. That's how you can tell that it's a dark future.
Or, like, somebody's got, like, an evil beard.
Yes.
Everybody's got face masks.
Ooh.
I know. Something. But, so, you know, they end up working together, but they're on the clock because some of them start to disintegrate.
Woo! Yeah, when it's just three of them, one set of them disappears, but because they look identical to the guys that came in the beginning, it's like, oh, maybe we just lost our main characters.
Yeah, I had some questions about that. Like, if those are the ones who had shown up first of the ones that are still there, are the ones that disintegrated the ones who have been our main characters all this time?
Yeah.
Well, when we do get to the end, they are with Chromia, so it makes sense it's the same group.
That's true.
However...
Mm-hmm. But again, it's sort of handled as weightlessly as that the grim demise of Velocitron from the from the first
one.
Season.
Hmm. God, that yeah. was just
needlessly dark.
Well, the
thing is, it was needlessly dark. But also, nobody seemed that put out about it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was. It's just not well executed.
Yeah. Anyway, so they. They figure that what they could do is they when there are only three of them, they don't have enough resources to pool to get it to bust out of here. But then once they end up with nine, they can then link all these Allsparks together and break on through to the other side.
It's just enough energy to get them out.
So they get out and they're headed to Cybertron, and everything is hunky dory, except. It seems that Chromia was, in fact, Megatron's prisoner, and the whole Cybertron has fallen thing was just to lure them into the trap.
It was a ruse!
Mm-hmm.
Much like in Beast Machines, Megatron arrived first.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he has had time to get himself established.
Yeah, so this is, of course, leading to the, you know, the big season finale, but no! This is the end of the
season finale. Yeah, like, it's not a cliffhanger that is a cliffhanger, because it really doesn't really act like a cliffhanger. It very much acts like, oh, next episode.
Now, admittedly, this is... Our season breaks are a little arbitrary here, because this aired early January, and then it would air... Season 3 started in March, so it's not like you were waiting, you know, all year or anything.
I guess.
That's good.
Yeah, it still doesn't know when it is trying to begin or end.
No.
But at least this has some pretty significant stuff happening, unlike the previous episode.
Yes.
I mean, well, you know, I say that, but also
it ends on
I've
stuff happening.
Had shows like this weekend, I just started watching Starfleet Academy, which I haven't watched any... Star Trek much of anything for quite some time, and it occurred to me that these days with the season links that we get, you don't have, you know, there'd be like character who's like, oh, that I maybe they'll get an interesting like character focus episode for them, but no one gets that anymore because you've got these super short seasons, so I can't really complain that there was this episode that was just RC and Grimlock having shenanigans, because I have just been thinking that it's a shame that more series don't get to do that anymore.
How much of Starfleet Academy have you seen so far?
One episode.
Okay, because you definitely do get character focus episodes later in the season.
Okay, good, good, good.
Like this past week's episode.
Paul Giamatti focused?
Well, not yet, but episode 4 is 100% a character focus episode for one dude in particular.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I just want an episode that's entirely about Sam.
That appears to be this week's episode. This coming episode. So well, good
I'll
news.
I'll have to get caught up.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch any of it after I finish Wonder Man.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, that pretty much does it for us for Cyberverse for this week and for the near future, because we will be returning to the confines of Rescue Bots Academy.
Time for the babies again, little kiddos.
Yes. Well,
mm-hmm.
The good kiddo friends.
Last week was Gundam. This week is Cyberverse. Next week is Between Seasons, Bionic Six.
That's right.
Then Rescue Bots Academy. 4 weeks, 4 different shows.
So yeah, so next week, yes, we will be commemorating we will be memorializing the great Ron Friedman with one of his more offbeat creations, the bizarre Bionic Six, which I've never seen myself.
I definitely watched it when it was on, but I have not seen it since. So I will be curious to see it. How I feel about it, like, 30-some, nearly 40 years later.
I saw the original run, and I also saw it on Sci-Fi Channel.
I mostly just know that it has a pretty rad theme song.
Yes. Bionic Six. I do remember that. I don't think I've even looked it up.
Not quite Orbot's good animation, but better than average for the time.
And some interesting people that we'll be talking about behind the scenes. Isn't it?
Thanks. I will be looking forward to that.
Yeah, but of course, until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Blue Sky, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. We were very slightly late with the January Patreon special.
Many things involving, me having 3 trips to the vet in 1 week, which included putting down one cat, who was very old.
Yeah. Had problems. Lost your buddy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's understandable because a lot of stuff's been going on, but that does mean technically there will be 2 in February. Because the January one just went live on February 1st. That one was good old mighty Orbots, which we just mentioned. After the Kickstarter for the toy actually, by a miracle, managed to fund, we watched the second episode of Mighty Orbots, Wish World, which was... That was fun to go back to that. I really need to actually, watch that entire series, which have on DVD and also seems to be possibly officially available on YouTube. Uh-huh. It's a fun series. For this month, Rob has actually found an old Marvel cartoon that's not terrible for us to watch.
It is, in fact, good.
We have been told. We will have to see, but I do trust his judgment on this. Because he said the previous ones were terrible, and in fact, they were indeed terrible. Yes. But yes, we are watching... you said, which Avengers show is it?
Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
All right. So yeah, we are going to watch an episode of Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes with Wonder Man, who is now got a whole series on Disney Plus right now.
That's
which they just dropped all at once, just like, hey, here you go. So yeah.
I feel that the way it was structured, I feel it worked better as like a binge thing than waiting a week for every episode kind of thing.
I can see that.
I've only watched some of it, and the episodes are shorter, so they're easier to digest.
Yeah, I've watched two at this point because I generally try to rein myself in at two for any series, just so I'm not like, just so that the show has room to breathe.
Hmm. Anyway, it's a great episode. It's got a great special guest villain, and it also has maybe a Transformers animated tie-in.
Ooh, I do like those.
I mean, gotta guess.
Is it Lance Henriksen?
Let's just say it's Lance Henriksen as a guy with like a curved metal implement for a hand.
Yep.
Nice.
Wait, how many
nice.
Times has he done that?
I mean, let's just say if I had a nickel for every time he played that character like that, I'd have two nickels. But it's still weird that it happened twice.
He's voiced other cartoons. He's probably done it before. Or since.
I mean,
that's
came,
going
like,
to be fun for me because I am slowly working my way through the late 90s X-Men spinoff Millennium. So I have been having a lot of Lance Henriksen in my life lately.
Sadly, I don't think he has like a hook hand in that.
No, I mean, not by the end of the first season. I don't know what happens in the next two seasons.
I guess we'll be back next week with Bionic 6. So stay tuned, loyal listeners. But until then, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
I'm David.
Okay.
Good night. Record. I should have made tea.
All right.
Yes.
I did make tea.
I made
my
tea.
Good throat tea. I made my like herbal throat tea. So it's
I'll make it before Monster Dawn.
Extra good stuff.
Hopefully, I have time.
Dawn of the Monsters. Planet of the Earth. I just keep thinking about Planet of the Earth.
I know.
Written by no one.
I have to see if I can dig up some reference to that I can post at the start of it.
Oh, I already put up the poster. It was announced. Well, I didn't pick for this movie, but it should be fine.